But it's when you and I dedicate ourselves to do our best, whether it's at home, at school, at church, in the community, at the business, that we're going to try to do exactly like God has said, to the best of our ability all the time. Good is not always good enough. What about attendance? Sometimes we talk about attendance. We don't talk a lot about it here. What about attendance? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Psalms 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Suppose you have a person who says, well, now listen, I attend church several times during the year. I come around Easter, and I come around Christmas, and maybe a few other times. I attend several times. Would you say that's good? Well, I think I would have to admit that there can be some good every time that a person comes to the services of the church. And as much as I'm concerned about those who just come twice a year or a few times like that, I am thankful that they come then. Maybe there can be some teaching. Maybe there can be something done that will encourage them to do even better. Then you've got the person who says, now listen, I would not miss going to church one time on the Lord's Day for anything. You can count on me. I will be there one time on the Lord's Day, come rain or shine, 52 Sundays of the year. Well, that's better than just once in a while, isn't it? But is that good enough? I recognize that God has told us to assemble on the Lord's Day to worship. I believe there is a direct commandment for that. And I realize that the other times that we assemble may to some extent be in the area of discretion and wisdom, and I believe the elders of a congregation have the right to determine how many times we have Bible classes and how many times we have a worship service and how many times we assemble on the Lord's Day and throughout the week. And we need to be careful that we don't bind where God is not bound and that we respect the area of wisdom and discretion. But folks, attendance of the services of the church is best when we have the attitude, I want to be there every reasonable opportunity that I have. And you notice I said, I want to be there. I'm afraid when we're going just once in a while, or even if we're just going once on Sunday, and sometimes when I mention just going once on Sunday, people will say you should have preached that on Sunday morning. No, it needs to be preached on Sunday night, too. Because there are a lot of people evidently, I do not wish to judge hearts, but a lot of people who evidently do not have the desire to get up and go to worship on Sunday morning with the attitude, as long as I go on Sunday night, I've been once on the Lord's Day and that's sufficient. I believe there is a danger involved with that. And I'm not ready tonight to say you've got to attend three times or four times or five times. I'm not as interested in numbers as I am saying to you that having the right attitude toward coming to worship God and be with His people is what's best. I just can't imagine not wanting to be with God's people if I can reasonably be there. And I would underscore that word reasonable, because that's all God expects, which is your reasonable service in the theme that we had last year. God doesn't expect the impossible. He just expects us to be reasonable. And I'm not too concerned about how many services of the church a person will miss if he really wants to be with God's people to worship God on a regular basis. Some service is good, yes. Every Sunday, one time, better, yes. But what's the best? Really having the desire to go to the house of God with God's people and worship God and enjoy fellowship with the people of God. That's the best. Think about giving for a moment. We don't say a lot about giving here because our giving usually has stayed above our budget and the congregation here has responded well, and I appreciate that. But let me talk to you about giving for a moment because I believe there are some things here that we need to consider. We're to give as we've been prospered, 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. We're to give with a cheerful attitude, purpose in our hearts, 2 Corinthians 9:7. You know those verses as well as I do. Suppose someone says, well, now, I give some every Lord's Day. When the basket passes, I always reach in my pocket, and whatever I've got, or I look in my billfold, and whatever I've got there, that I always give something. Is that good? Why, certainly it's good. Every penny that goes into the Lord's work is good. A preacher up in Kentucky a few years ago had been talking about tobacco and alcohol and horse racing, and they got ready to pay him for the meeting. They said, you may not want this. A lot of this has been earned through some of those things. He said, oh, go ahead and give it to me. The devil's had it long enough. Well, whatever attitude you have toward those things, I think we would say that anything that comes into the Lord's treasury, every penny is important. That's good. Suppose somebody says, you know, I give 10% of everything I make. That would be better than just giving occasionally, wouldn't it? I don't believe the Bible gives us a percentage to tithe under the New Testament law. But folks, the more I study it, the more I am convinced that God's not going to be pleased with less under that which is better. Now you chew on that and digest it and use it for whatever it's worth. But suppose a person says, I'm going to give 10% of everything I make. That's better than just a little here and there. But I don't believe that's the best. The best is when each one of us says, I want to do the best I can. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm going to try to give on a regular basis that which I believe is right. And then if I can save something out of some other part of my obligations and give extra, I will. And if there's a special need, maybe I can give extra. Instead of saying, I want to get by with as little as I can, saying, I want to sacrifice as much as I can. I want to do as much as I can. Not based on what the total is, not based upon what somebody else is doing or not doing, but based upon what my attitude toward it is. I think that's the best. And sometimes just dropping something in the plate may be good, but is it good enough? I'm not for sure it is. And then talking about why we give. I'm afraid most of us get to the point that we give out of habit without really thinking it through. Well, what's given is good, and that's a good habit. But wouldn't it be better if we realized that as Christians, we have an obligation to God? God's done so much for us. Certainly, we have a duty, we have an obligation. But is that even good enough? I don't think so. I think it comes back to this giving out of a heart of love and a desire to do our best to serve the Lord. Good is not always good enough. We've talked about study. We've talked about keeping the commandments. We've talked about attendance. We've talked about giving. Let's talk about one other area of thought here that maybe sort of sums this up tonight. And that is why we do what we do in the entire Christian life. There are those who are Christians in order to keep from going to hell. And sometimes preachers will preach hellfire and brimstone sermons. And I believe we need to talk about hell in the right way. I believe we need to teach it in a way that all of us are afraid of it, if you want to say it like that. I'm afraid of hell. I don't want to go there. And if I can tell you how terrible it is and use that to encourage you to be a Christian, I believe I ought to. But I believe there's a higher motive than missing hell. And that is to go to heaven. If I can take God's word or Alan or anybody else and show you about the street of gold, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, and more than that, no tears there, no problems, no heartaches, no sorrows. God himself shall wipe away all tears. And get you to really want to go to heaven, and you become a Christian and live the Christian life because you want to go to heaven, I believe that's a better motive than wanting to miss hell. But I'm not for sure that that's the highest motive. Let me show you something that's interesting. You have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In this very same chapter, there are some things that are very, very interesting. Look first at verse 11. And that sort of says what we said first here. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Was it Jonathan Edwards back in the early history of our country that had the sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God? And people said that he could preach that in such a way that you felt like God was holding you over the fires of hell and the fires were touching your fingers and toes. Well, I'm sure I can't preach it like that. But folks, right in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It is right for us to persuade men because of the terror of the Lord. But go back just a few verses to the first part of the chapter. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, let me tell you about heaven. We're going to die. This body is going to cease. But there is a place called heaven. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with that house which is from heaven. I believe that's an even better motive than verse 11. But look at verse 14. Same chapter. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Knowing the terror, we persuade, but the love of Christ constraineth us. The highest motive you and I can have for being a Christian is the love of Christ. Understanding the love that he has given to us, the love that he has shown, God's love that he's shown in the shedding of his blood, that's the highest motive. All three of those motives are right there in that same chapter. Is it good to persuade people to miss hell? Certainly. Is it better to tell them about heaven? I believe so. But when you get them to understand the love of Christ, you put those two ideas and everything else in proper focus, and you have the greatest motive that you can have. Sometimes, folks, good is not good enough. God wants our best. Are you giving your best to the Lord? If you're old enough to understand the plan of salvation and you've not become a Christian, you're not. You know you need to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins and give your best to the Lord. And another reason for being a Christian tonight is don't give another day to the devil. God needs the rest and he needs the best. And if you are a Christian, are you giving your best to the Lord? If not, determine that tonight. In most cases, that determination needs to take place in the pew and as you leave. In some instances, it might need to be at the front as you ask for prayers of the church as together we stand and sing.